from Puck Daddy Blog and Deadspin. Ryan Lambert joins us. Ryan, how you doing?
Not too bad. How about you?
Good. I read your article with interest because I wrote something similar to it a few weeks ago because I was kind of tired of him. And I like Jonathan Toews as a player. But the best player in hockey cannot have never scored 75 points in a regular season. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed like, and Drew Doughty's great. I love Drew Doughty, but like to me, Sidney Crosby's the best player until somebody shows they're better for an extended period of time, not just in the playoffs.
Yeah, of course. That's 100% correct. I don't know how many times he has to put up 100 points in a season before everybody's just like, oh yeah, I guess he is just the best, and like someone else is going to have to do that same thing before they catch up to him.
Which player, and I read your article with interest, which one made you chuckle the most when he was put in the conversation of best player in the game?
Oh, I think it's Drew Doughty, and you know, nothing against him individually. I think he's phenomenal. He's probably the best defenseman of his age group, if not, you know, the best one in the whole league. But, like, you know, no defenseman is going to have as much of an impact on the game, which I think is probably how you should define best player in the world. No defenseman is going to have as much of an impact on the game as a 100-point forward. It's just not possible. And the fact that everybody's saying Drew Doughty based on, what, games 5, 6, and 7 against Chicago and then 1 against the Rangers, like everybody's like, well, this is it. This is definitely the evidence, all the evidence we need that we're gonna anoint him the best player in the world. It's like, come on. I mean, at least Toews, you know, he's a forward. He goes out there and he does win a lot, and people say there's stock in to be put in his leadership, which, you know, I think is kind of baloney. But, you know, I see the argument there a lot more than I do with Doughty, for sure.
Now, interesting you mentioned, because if a defenseman's playing 30 minutes a night,
sure,
right, to a guy who plays 20 minutes, maybe 21 or 2 sometimes in the playoffs for the skilled forwards, like here in Edmonton, I'd argue that Chris Pronger was the only, like Chris Pronger had a bigger impact than any of the forward guys in the playoffs
that
year.
But those Oilers didn't have, you know, a guy of Sidney Crosby's caliber either, and nobody even close. So, like, you know, if you have Crosby playing 22 minutes a night, let's say, and Doughty playing 30, like, Crosby's going to have a bigger impact on your win total than Doughty is.
Well, if offensively, yeah, do you think defensively? And for a defenseman, how much of limiting goals do you figure into that?
Well, I mean, that's the tough part, right? You can't say that. Well, it's just really hard to quantify, I guess, how many goals a the best defenseman take away.
Yeah, because I don't. Have you seen, like, I know you follow a lot of the stats, same as I do. Have you seen anything that remotely gives an accurate suggestion of a defenseman's value when it comes to limiting goals? And I don't go into Corsi or anything. It's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super hard. But, you know, I think Sidney Crosby gets a bad rap for his defense. Like, I don't
Agreed.
Know where this idea that he doesn't play defense. Like, I think he's, you know, he's not in the Kopitar, Bergeron, Toews echelon of defensive centers, but he's really good. And, you know, I, by the same token, like, how much better does he have to be than everybody else offensively, where before you just say, you know what, like Sidney Crosby could take a nap at the red line every time and just wait for the puck to come out, and if he's still putting up 100 points in a season, like, does it really matter that much?
No, well, I would agree with you. You're not going to get an argument from me. I think I look at today's game and the focus on the two-way play, which, to be honest, people love to use the line. They don't even understand half the time what they're even referring to, right? Because they don't go in-depth about, oh, you know, he wasn't on the ice for a few goals. But I look at Sidney Crosby, and I don't ever recall him being a turnover machine in his own zone. I don't see him getting out-muscled for the puck. His defensive play is just fine. It's because his offensive play is so good, no one ever talks about his defensive play.
Right, and it's really hard to have your defensive play talked about when you're in the offensive zone your entire game. So, you know, like, that's the thing, right, is, like, he's got a, whatever it is, like, 56% Corsi every season. And, you know, he's just not spending a lot of time in the offensive zone, and he's getting the toughest assignments imaginable, obviously. And, like, the idea that anybody is, like, doing what Crosby can do across every season, like, it doesn't matter if he's coming off a concussion. It doesn't matter if he's coming off, like, you know, getting hit in the face and needing dental surgery and all this kind of stuff. He's just putting up 100 points per 82 games regardless.
Ryan Lambert joins us from the Puck Daddy blog. And the other thing that's gotten taken into consideration for the best player is now that you need team success, which I don't buy into. Because in the game of hockey, you're on if you're a forward, there's two-thirds of the game that you have zero impact on when you're sitting on the bench. So,
yeah,
to me,
the Penguins are awful besides Crosby and Malkin. Yeah. They're not good.
Yeah.
Like, those two guys drag that team into the playoffs and to, you know, 95, 98, 100 points every single year. Like, I can't remember what the stat was, but it was something like, you know, Pascal, maybe it's not really a stat, but like Pascal Dupuis was a Penguins first liner until he got hurt this year. And when they won the cup what was that, 2009, I guess, when they won that cup, he was on the fourth line for them. He didn't get good during that time. Like, he didn't become a first-line player from being a fourth-line guy when he was in his 30s. Like, the Penguins have gotten appreciably worse, and the fact that they're going to the playoffs every year is entirely because of Crosby and Malkin.
Well, of course. And Marc-Andre Fleury, let's not kid. He's outstanding.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's unbelievable.
Now, Ryan, I was having fun with Gary Bettman last week because you know, Gary Bettman, he does a lot of things bad, does a lot of things good. I've never understood why he has to throw out numbers that it takes anybody a few seconds to look at. The NHL numbers do not compare to the NFL if we're talking regular season to regular season. I get they've had some big playoff numbers, but do you think Bettman hurts his cause when he makes suggestions that NHL teams are worth at least $2 billion, if that's what the Clippers are worth, and that even references NFL-type numbers to the NHL? Should he just not mention it?
I get your point, but, you know, like, this is a league that is growing incredibly quickly. Like, I'm one of the few people, I think, that would generally defend Bettman. Overall, like, I understand the lockouts and everything really don't make him a very popular guy, but, like, you know, at the end of the day, he's really just a pitch man, right? Like, you have to think that he's just taking, you know, calls from the 30 owners or whatever and just saying yes sir, yes sir. Like, that's his job. And so, like, his job is to go out and pump up the league and, like, be a PR guy to some extent. So, like, you know, I think that he gets a little too technical with his language, where it's like he says something and you go, what are you talking about, Gary? And then, like, you look at, like, the little asterisk and you go, yeah, okay, I see what he's saying. But, like, it's still disingenuous to say it. Like, he's not saying things that are not true, I don't think. But I do think he's saying things that are maybe a little bit exaggerated for the point of saying, boy, the NHL sure is great.
How much longer do you think he stays as commissioner?
Oh, I think he's got another lockout or two in him, don't you?
God. I think Gary retires a year before the CBA ends. Because he's not going to want to have to do his about face like he's done every other year and tell us for the next 5 years how everything's rosy, and then suddenly a year before the CBA say, you know, we've got a lot of teams in trouble suddenly.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wouldn't be wrong in saying that is the thing. Like, you know, what is it? I think 10 of the teams in the league actually make money on their own that don't need revenue sharing and that kind of thing. So to that extent, like, he's not wrong to say it, but at the same time, it is a little disingenuous when the league's setting revenue records every single year and he's still, like, turning out his pockets, like, what am I supposed to do here? You know, these lockouts are all this lockout, I guess, was actually for the middle tier teams, I think I would say. And then the 2005-06 one was certainly for 2004-05 was certainly for the big market teams. So maybe 8 years from now or 7 years from now, whenever the CBA's opt-out agreement kicks in, we'll get one for the bottom teams in the league. But I'm not holding my breath.
And one last one. For anybody who thinks Sidney Crosby isn't the greatest player in the NHL, all time, points per game, he is fifth, because I include New Zealand Land, right? I know he was in a different era, but still, you know, he didn't play a lot of games. I get it. But even if you want to take him out, then he's fourth behind Bossy, Gretzky, and Lemieux in a time where most people agree it's harder to score.
It's so much harder to score now. Like, you know, it's dumb to say, like, well, if he went back to Gretzky's era, you know, that kind of thing, because the goaltending's so much different and the way teams play is so much different. But, you know, like I said, this kid's putting up 100 points per 82 games, like clockwork, 100-plus points. You can set your watch to Sidney Crosby getting into the triple digits in an era where, you know, what, three guys a season do that?
Yeah.
And he's always one of them. Yeah. Like, it's remarkable how good he is. Like, we're so lucky that we get to watch him. And, like, I don't think we appreciate it. I wasn't really the biggest NHL fan, like, because I was a child. But, like, in the late 80s, early 90s, like, did people tear down Gretzky as much as they do Crosby?
No, there was, well, a lot of that becomes, and I really think we're a little ultra sensitive. Like, if a few hockey fans go on social media, it's like after, you know, certain, like LeBron James, everyone's like, well, LeBron James got ripped apart. I'm like, well, he got ripped apart by certain, you know, the vocal minority of negativity, which is out there everywhere, right? I look at Gretzky had people who despised him in the league, but they all respected him, right? And I think now social media, too often we all get guilty of focusing only on the negative about a guy, and if there's 1,000 positive tweets but 10 negative, we'll focus on the 10 negative.
Yeah, you're right about that, I guess. But you know, I just feel like nobody was saying in, like, you know, 1987, like, yeah, but, like, you know,
oh, yeah, no, you're right,
Murray Curry's really great too. I think he's probably better than Gretzky. Yeah. Like, no, he isn't. No, he wasn't. Yeah. Like, don't be ridiculous.
But Gretzky was, like, Gretzky led scoring races by 70 or 80 points. Like, that's why it was.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that probably helps too.
Yeah,
you're right about
definitely
that.
Definitely helps. It's like Alex Ovechkin is 16th all time in points per game. And people talk about him like he's washed up and fit. I would take him on my team. He does the hardest thing better than maybe everybody but Stamkos, and that's score goals.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so crazy. Like, how many 50-goal seasons does the guy have to have before we just go, like, you know what, let's just lay off him on the defense a little bit.
Yeah. No. Because if Washington doesn't win because they have the worst defense corps in the league, he's clearly not a good player.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan, what's coming up on Puck Daddy later today?
Oh, you know, I don't know about today, but tomorrow we have the power rankings coming out, as we always do every Wednesday. And then
where are the orders ranked?
Oh, it's not that kind of power ranking.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate.
And then after that, we'll have all your game 3 coverage. Greg's in New York and probably getting all kinds of morose quotes from Martin Saint-Louis as we speak.
Well, enjoy that. Ryan, always good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.